You can hear this story about how Hosea, the Lord spoke to him, his prophet, and he said, this is his spokesperson, the southern part of Israel, and he said, you go take a wife of whoredoms, go marry a prostitute, and you say, ooh, poor Hosea. It's rough, isn't it? You think you're Hosea. That name means Savior, Redeemer. That's Hosea. If you hear this story of how God's prophet had to go marry a harlot, and that's too nice of a word, streetwalker, a worthless lady of the night, and you say, oh, what a wonderful story. Oh, it's good news. I have zero complaints. You see yourself as Gomer. You see yourself as Gomer. But I think this message tonight will go very well with our message this morning. We saw about those prophets of old, how they earnestly sought the Lord. They wanted to know more of Him. How the angels in heaven gather around the local assembly of God to hear, to learn of His gospel, to learn more of Christ. And how do I got in the car and I thought, what are we having for lunch? When's that new show come out? Wicked, ain't I? Feel horrible. I fell. I no more got through telling that message to you, preaching to you. And right down. We're weak, aren't we? Some people look here at Hosea 2 and they say, this is a good plan. This is a blueprint how to reconcile a marriage. The practicality of this. I want to tell you something, and I hope you pay close attention to me. What we're going to read in Hosea chapter 2, this is a holy conversation between God the Father and God the Son. We get to listen in. There's going to be two responses to that. It's just, I give. I don't want to hear nothing of it. Go on to something else. Or let me listen. Oh, let me listen. I want to hear what He has to say. We're going to see tonight how God Almighty saves sinners. Do we know we're going to meet Him? Every man, woman, and child that's ever walked this earth is going to meet God one day. We won't be saved in His grace and His mercy, looking and smelling and robed just like His Son, being accepted of Him. Or do we want to stand with Him alone? We don't want to do that. So I pray the Lord will be with us tonight. Let us see what He has to say to His Son and what His Son had to say back to Him. It'll be a great comfort to you. It'll be a great comfort. Last week we looked in chapter 1, that wedding announcement. This bride was chosen before the fall. God the Father spoke to His Son and said, you take a bride. That Gomer, consumption, death, a wife of whoredoms and her children of whoredoms. Everything that's a proof of her occupation, her offspring, you bear it. You take them. And that wedding was fruitful. They had three children. Ended up being three grown children. They were together, wed together. And then Gomer fell. What we're going to see is the decreed plan of God, of holy God towards His people. This is how He saves His people. And for those that He's already touched, those that He's circumcised your heart, His words have pierced you and given you spiritual life. Whenever we fall, after we know Him, this is how He comes to us. This is how He deals with His children. Now, silly people, they say that a believer never acts like an unbeliever. Oh, they were saved. Saved person wouldn't act that way. Or that the trial that they're going through, it's a very odd trial, a unique trial, or a very severe trial. Oh, that doesn't happen to a child of God. That doesn't happen to a good Christian, does it? How silly. How foolish. You remember those miserable comforters that came to Job? What did they tell him? What'd you do wrong? You must have done something. That's preaching a reactive God. God doesn't react to things. He acts. We react to Him. He bends us, doesn't He? Imagine Hosea, this man. Because this physically happened. His prophet. He marries this wife of whoredoms. He marries a prostitute. And they have children together. They have a life together. And his wife leaves him. Walks out on him. And not in a good way. She didn't walk for something better, did she? Is that a believer? Is Hosea, did he remain his prophet? He did to death. Did Adam fell. Adam was morally innocent. Didn't he know what sin was? Didn't have need to know what sin was. He was in the garden, given one commandment. He failed, didn't he? Noah, he was saved from that flood. Him and his boys and their wives. The whole earth perished. They were the only ones that made it. Boy, now he's going to walk a good Christian life now, isn't he? Be a good soldier, isn't he? Got drunk. Passed out. Ruined one of his sons. He fell. Lot was brought out of Sodom. Two angels came into Sodom. Took Lot out of there. Perched him up and he saw that whole city burn to the ground. He fell. After seeing all that. King David, that great and mighty king, fell in love with his best friend's wife, had him sent off to war to get him killed so he could take his wife. He knew the Lord and remained the king, remained God's prophet. Solomon, that wisest man that ever lived, that prayed for understanding. Lord, let me understand your scriptures. Give me an understanding heart to judge this people. He lived like a fool sometimes. Wisest man that ever lived. Gomer fell physically. And Christ's sheep, we fall in sin. Every one of us. Now we're going to read here chapter 2. But I want us to remember that starting in chapter 1, verse 9, the Lord begins to speak. This is God speaking. And He doesn't stop speaking until the end of the second chapter there in verse 23. So Hosea chapter 2 verse 1. Say ye unto your brethren, Ammi, and to your sisters, Ruhamah, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms, her idolatries, out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts. God the Father speaking here. And He says, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. So say unto your brethren, am I? That means my people. Say unto your sisters, Ruhamah, having obtained mercy. He says, you tell my people that have obtained mercy. Tell mine elect that I've revealed it in their hearts to plead with your mother. Plead with your fallen mother. Plead with the ones that you came from. You plead with that people that, those people that have been shown mercy. You plead with where the Lord found you. Where He found every one of us. Go to your mothers. Go to your fathers. Your family members. Those you work with. Every fallen child in Adam. Go to them. Plead with them. Those that obtain mercy of my hand. Plead with sinners. And why? 40 days. That's what Jonah told him. What he walked through Nineveh, shouting, 40 days, and the Lord's going to tear this city to the ground. Repent. Believe. Look to Christ. But God must remain holy. Gomer fell. I fail. Every one of us have failed. He must remain holy. The punishment for sin is death. That willful disobedience must be punished by death. Look here in verse 3. Lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born and make her as a wilderness and set her like a dry land and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms, for their mother hath played the harlot. She hath conceived and hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and water, my wool, my flax, my oil, and my drink. God said, you go preach the gospel to them or they're going to perish. I've chosen a people. I've assigned a people before time, given to my Hosea, my Redeemer, my firstborn, my Gomer's been put in him, and they've failed. They've ran from the Lord. Preach to them, or destruction's coming. 40 days. That city of Nineveh will fall. He said, I'm going to deal with sin. Now when we get to verse 6, this Hosea the prophet said, okay, here's my game plan. He doesn't speak, does he? No. Physically, God's speaking to Hosea. What transpired on this earth is the God the Father speaking to Hosea and said, here's what you're going to do. But here's what God the Father just told us in the first 5 verses. Starting in verse 6, this is Christ's response to God the Father. Before this world was made, before time was created, he responds to his Father. He's convincing. I can't convince anyone in their heart. I can talk to people into doing some stuff. I can have some tactics and do some tricks, get you to, you can train a dog to bark every time you say election or something. Or I could get them chalkboards up all the way down this wall and all the way down that wall, and I could have one of the most detailed theological dissertations on what this book means. Or I could sit down with a child with one piece of paper and a crayon, say, all flesh is grass. The word of the Lord remains forever. That's how God saves sinners. Christ did it all and it's finished. Neither one of those is effectual unless the Lord speaks to the heart of his people. He has to do the work. It's not the work of this physical prophet, Hosea. It's the work of Christ, our Hosea. God's holy sovereignty and his providence in all things displayed here. Christ is speaking to the Father concerning his elect, putting him before the foundation of the world. And we'll look there in verse 6. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. She shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then she shall say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. She's going to chase them. She's going to seek after those different gods. What's that? You name it. If it ain't Christ, it's a different God, isn't it? It's a strange fire. It's a different lust. Something that's different. She's going to seek after them, but she ain't going to overtake them. She's going to diligently seek them. There's going to be some earnestness here. This isn't just pretend. There's going to be some commitment. There'll be some bloodshed, maybe. Spend some money doing it. Conviction. But she shall not find them. And then she'll say, I'm going to go and return to my first husband, for it was better with me than now. God hedges us about. The whole time we think we're running wild, there's hedges all around us. And then there's no satisfaction in those other things. There's no peace. They say peace, well, there is no peace. There's no peace in those things that we think are good for us. And he turns us. Verse 8, we're unaware of his providence this whole time. Verse 8, for she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. This whole time, she's out chasing. She's hedged about. There's the Lord's providence and his plan for his church the whole time. But we're out chasing different divers' lusts and manners, isn't it? And the whole time, the Lord's given us corn. He's given us substance. That word wine there means new wine. That's daily wine. He's given us food and drink. Giving us oil, preserving us. Protecting us the whole time. And multiplying silver and gold. All that chasing the false gods, it cost money, didn't it? We had to keep the power on while he was doing that. We had to keep kids fed, keep them in shoes. Where'd you get that money? All worked hard. God gave you that money. He preserved it. Gave you something to do. All which we prepared for Baal. Every bit of us for a false god. God reveals his sovereignty in his people, in their lives. And he removes their robe of righteousness, showing us that we ain't nothing but nakedness. Look here in verse 9. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. In the right time. In the right season. When's that? I don't know, but he does. If I had to go take my corn and my oil from somebody, I don't have any anyway, but it'd be the wrong time and the wrong season. In his time, in his season, he takes his corn, his oil, his flax, his wool. It's all his at the right time. All those things that covered our nakedness, he exposes it, revealing in his sovereignty. Then in verse 10, "And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of my hand." God makes us discover that he's discovered our sins. This isn't a surprise to him. This isn't a shock. He reveals himself, makes us discover he's discovered us in sin, right in the midst of it, when we were at enmity with God, right in the act. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. You don't get better and quit your wicked ways and then you learn something about God. Yet he shows you you are wicked. That's where he meets us. Right there in the act. "And there will be no running from the mountains and praying that the hills fall on you." When the Lord exposes sin, there's no hiding from it. And you can be in a crowd of 1,000 people and he'll meet you right there where you are. Without a word spoken, without an eye batted, meets you right in the heart. Right in the middle of idolatry. In verse 11, "I will also cause all her mirth to cease," all her entertainment, all her enjoyment. "I will cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts." Now all of a sudden, all those things we thought were good, enjoyable, all those feast days. Oh, this is worshiping God. All those Sabbaths. I keep the Sabbath. Look at me. I don't walk. I don't use an oven. Don't watch TV. Nothing. All those solemn feasts and all those new moons. All that over-religion. That's what superstition means in the Scriptures. Overly religious. The Lord's going to make that to cease. He's going to stop all that foolishness. Believers are taught that all of our righteousness are filthy rags. All of our trees that we think's bearing fruit. Look at all this fruit we have. Oh, we feed the homeless. We say our prayers. We do good things. Been good boys and girls. Make our children memorize Scripture. And we do all these wonderful things for people. Buy Bibles for the homeless. All that's going to be chewed up. That fig tree and that fruit tree of ours is going to go away. Look here in verse 12. "And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she hath said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me. And I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them." Lord, look at all these demons we cast out in your name. I never knew you. Lord, we've done many wonderful works in your name. That blends in right with the rest of the forest, and it ain't nothing but feed for the swine. Hogs are going to destroy it. They'll go through the forest. Verse 13, "And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Lord." All of those good religious times we had, worshiping a false god, and all those earrings and jewels. You know what that is? They were sincere. She sought after them, didn't she? They were willing bondservants. They pierced their ear. Oh, I'm a child of God. Look at me. Look at all the crowns, all the jewels in my crowns. Getting a new room in my mansion in heaven. God said, I'm going to bring that into remembrance. I'm going to crush you in it. You're going to regret those days when you thought you was just doing so good outside of me. It ain't happening. It's all going to burn. Trying to help that other God. All of that, he says, all those things, what we are in us, what we are outside of us, every bit of us, all of that was forgetting the true and living God. That's not serving God. That's forgetting Him. I'm keeping all these feasts. I'm keeping all these Sabbaths. I'm doing good. You're forgetting God. You forgot me. That's the end of a paragraph. I don't know if that annotates in your Bible. The Lord began there. And Christ began speaking in verse 6 and He ended in verse 13. That's the end of a paragraph. if the Lord exposed all of our sin, all the false religion we think is just wonderful, great things in this world, all of our hope, all of our filthy rags, and He did nothing else, if He left us there, we would be consumed with depression. We'd be consumed with regret, and we would just shrivel up and perish, wouldn't we? An eternity of hell and damnation and separation from God would just begin now. It'd just start early, wouldn't it? But when the Holy Spirit convicts men and women of sin, God the Father said, preach to them. Tell them destruction's coming. What did Christ say? I'm going to go to them, hedge their ways up, and I'm going to convince them plumb teetotally. That's all they are, sin. You going to leave them there? No. When the Holy Spirit convicts His people in the heart of sin, He convicts them of righteousness and judgment in Christ. He continues. He doesn't stop there. Look in verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. That real bad one? Yep, that real bad one. Every one of them real bad ones. Bring them right into the wilderness. Allure her. That means majestically and powerfully drawing someone in attractiveness. Allure. He's going to powerfully call His people. And He's going to draw them into the wilderness alone. But does that mean we got to worship God out in the desert? We got to go out 30, 40 miles where ain't nobody around? And that's where, no. Alone in the heart. Be a crowd of 10,000 people and the Lord speak to you and you're the only person in that room. You real quick forget about everybody else around you. He gets them in the wilderness and He speaks to their heart. The Hebrew word speak comfortably is to speak to the heart. Speak comfortably to their hearts. That's effectual. What happens after this effectual comforting? After the Lord convicts of sin and then convicts of righteousness, who He is. Speaks comfortably to their hearts. Verse 15. And I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the days when she came up out of the land of Egypt. Now you have some fruit-bearing trees. Before, she had her own vines and her own figs, didn't she? Lord consumed them. Beast of the field's going to eat those. And He said, you know what? I'm going to give you a vineyard. I wrote down mercy fruit. What kind of fruit? What kind of apple was that? What kind of fruit was that? Mercy fruit. That's what it was. He's merciful to her. You know what kind of fruit she's going to bear for? Mercy. If He's gracious to her, you know what kind of fruit she's going to bear for? Graciousness. Long-suffering, she's going to bear long-sufferingness. That branch is the same as a vine. That tree is the same as a root. Just as He was to Gomer, to us, to me, that's the same as I'm going to be to somebody else. Whose tree is it? Who's this mercy fruit tree? It says, I will give her her vineyards from this. Is that a typo? Every time I type something up, I got handwritten notes tonight. Every time I type something up on Word, if I put the same word twice, He said, you want to remove this double? You think that's on accident? He's going to give her her fruit trees. She possesses them. They're His. He created it. It's all from Him. He's our possession. That root of David's our possession. And so she'll sing in her youth. She's going to return to that first love. I broke that down. But you know, she's going to return to the one who first loved her. Her first love there physically was Hosea. She wasn't much of a bride to him. But she's returning to the one who first loved her. Nobody loved her before that. From the time the Lord said, you go take Gomer, Hosea loved her. The whole time. She returned to her first love and she sings. And it says, same as with the day she come up out of the land of Egypt. Same as that day that we were first released from bondage. That's the first time a sinner hears of Christ. He speaks to their heart and they run to Him and they sing. This is great news. You have to be holy to stand before God and Christ is my holiness. I'm His and He is mine. That is great news. What happens when we fall? And we forget God. We get so tied up in so many other things in this world. He allures us, gets us by ourselves, gives us our fruit, makes it our own. And then we rejoice in Him, same as the first day we were saved. Christ merciful to sinners. Oh boy. He reminds us we're a sinner, don't we? Every time. When the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, then, verse 16, and it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Isha, and shalt call me no more Belial. What those words mean? He's saying, and that day, when you rejoice, when you see me, you know me, you see what I've done for you, in that day you're going to call me Isha, that means husband, and no more are you going to call me Baali, that means master. You will call me husband and not master. What's that mean? Salvation typically, in a great majority of people in this country, is 18 inches away. They know doctrines of grace up here, but they don't know the God of grace right here. They know things about Christ, they don't know Christ, they don't love Him. People say, well, God's sovereign in all things, versus, that's my husband. That's my kinsman redeemer. He's the Lord of the universe. It's not a fact we state no more, is it? It's a person. It's a husband. He said, you ain't gonna just call me master. Well, he rules. God rules everything. He does. You can call me husband. Hey. For, because, this will be forever. It will be forever secured because, there in verse 17, for I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. It says the names, plural. The names of Balaam. Balaam means plural Baals. Multiple false gods. All their names. It's going to be removed out of the mouth. Does that just mean you ain't going to say that word no more? No, that means there's a correction in the heart done. Now out of that heart, it'll no more possess out of the mouth. God wants to do stuff. That ain't going to come out of your mouth no more. It'll be corrected when it does. God doesn't want for anything, does He? Christ tries to save people. No, that ain't going to come out of the heart no more. He's going to take that out of your mouth. Verse 18. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the fields and with the fowls of heaven and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down in safety. Whenever He does that heart work, there's a covenant made with all the things of this earth. Now, what in the world could that mean? I ain't going to have you turn nowhere tonight. We're going to just keep your Bibles in your lap in Hosea, but I'm going to read you something out of Isaiah real quick. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. Put that in there too, saith the Lord. You're His. You're the bride of Christ. And He's saying here in verse 18, you're going to call me husband. You're going to be my bride. And no one is going to lay a hand to His bride. I'm still kind of young. And I'm still kind of big. And within the capabilities of me, ain't nobody going to lay a hand on my bride. This style come off. My husband, my kinsman redeemer, the ruler of heaven and earth and all creation forever. He says, that's my bride. Ain't going to touch her. We're secure in Him. How long is that going to last? Oh, it only lasts if you're a good boy or girl until you fall. No, that's forever. God says, I change not. Look here in verse 19. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. That's how long it's going to last. Yea, I will betroth thee. It means marry. I'm going to betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment, and in loving kindness and in mercies. He says, I'm going to betroth forever you to me in righteousness. What's righteousness? That's the outward act of a holy nature. Who's holy? Christ is holy. Where's our righteousness going to come from? Christ. I'm going to betroth you to me forever in judgment. What's that mean? Oh, He was just in the justifier. All of God's holy law has been satisfied. No more condemnation. It's gone forever, as far as the east is from the west. Where did that happen? In Christ. Made righteous in Him. All judgment satisfied in Him. We're married to Him, being made one with Him. And it says, in loving kindness and in mercies. What's love and kindness and merciful? What love that the mercy reserved for thousands in Christ is reserved for me. That's being wed in loving kindness and loving mercy. How do we know if this is for me? How do you know if this is for you? All that sin exposed and all His promises and His will working in the lives and hearts of His people, is that you? Is that me? How am I going to know? Look here in verse 20. I will even, righteousness like that wasn't enough, judgment satisfied for eternity in Christ, loving kindness, betrothed in mercies, and on top of that, I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord in faithfulness. We will be given the faith of our husband. Given the faith of our husband. That's the faith of Christ. We're given His name. We're given His righteousness. We're given His wisdom in Him. We're given the judgment that He satisfied in the law. His perfect walk in this world, that's counted to us. Everything's found in Him. You think faith somewhere else? I don't want my faith. I want His faith. He's the one who satisfied the Father. Set His face like a flint. Our husband, in this eternal marriage covenant, gave us His faithfulness. And we will know it. He's not going to hide this in a closet somewhere. He's going to make us faithful, those that are His. And it says there, we shall know the Lord. That's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's the Lord of hosts. We're going to know the Father. We're going to know that triune God. After a fall, if we fall in this old sin flesh, never heard of the Lord, and now all of a sudden we hear of Him. Or if we've known Him for a long time, and we stray, we forget the Lord for half a second, or half a year, or 10 years. And you hear this, He's telling you, I'm going to love you forever. I'm going to give you my righteousness. Does that make you want to turn from yourself to Christ? Does that make you want to repent from you to Him and love Him? Verse 21. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. In the day that someone turns from their selves, Christ's work in their heart is completed in this earthly flesh, and we know Him. The Lord said He will hear the heavens. What's that? We just read this morning. The angels rejoice over one sinner that repents. Saints in heaven celebrate. When a sinner comes to Christ, God said, I'll hear it. I'll hear what they say. Verse 22. And the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. Our story here is told on this earth. They're going to hear the corn, the wine, and the oil of what the Lord provided for us. Now, where I grew up, telling others of what the Lord did for you many times turned into competition. Who sinned the biggest? Oh, I was way worse than you. I used to do this. And next thing you know, it's just a group of folks telling bad stories. Trying to see who can one-up the other one. That's not what He's talking about. This is a true admission of who. Who brought the oil? Who sustained my life through all that? Who gave me drink through all that? Who gave me that oil of preservation through all that? Money to do it all. Christ kept me in my rebellion. Because I was espoused to Him before time by the Father. He kept me through all of that. And then He showed me my sin and He saved me and He said, I'm going to keep you forever. That's a story that all the earth's going to hear from His people. And they shall hear Jezreel. We saw there in chapter 1, Jezreel was a firstborn. He said, that's my seed scattered. It's my Israel scattered. We're going to hear the Son. We're going to tell everybody what Christ did for us. And now, for the first time, we're going to hear Christ. He's going to be our focus. Now, all that, that's what happens on this earth. When the Lord saves a sinner and He teaches them about Christ, does a work in their heart. This is what happens on this earth. And whenever a sinner falls, one of His believers that He's already saved, we fall again. That's what the Lord does with us. What about when we die? That's coming, isn't it? Every one of us. Something going to be different. We are sowed in this earth when we die, aren't we? Look at verse 23. And I will sow her unto me in the earth. And that day comes. The Lord will take us home. And I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. We were born without mercy. We were that second born to Gomer and Hosea, weren't we? No mercy. That's their name. Those that haven't obtained mercy. And He says, I'm going to have mercy on you. I brought you home. I'm going to have mercy on you. And I will say unto them which were not my people. That's third born. They were not my people. I will say unto them that were not my people, thou art my people. And after He tells us He's going to be merciful to us and we're His people, what are we going to respond with? And they shall say, thou art my God. Amen, Lord. You're my God. You're my Lord. You're my husband. That's what we'll say to them. In chapter 1, we saw that marriage announcement. Before time began, God spoke to His Son. He said, I got a people. I'm going to make them just like you. They're wicked. They're in whoredoms. Go marry one. Bring forth me a people. In chapter 2, we see this marriage covenant. This is the promise. God's sovereignty in action and saving His elect people, keeping them forever. And that's not harsh, is it? He allures us. Shows us our sin. That's brutal to us sometimes. He allures us in the wilderness. Speaks comfortably to our hearts and promises everything He has done for us will keep forever. And when that day comes, He takes us home. We will be His people and He will be our God. What a blessing. So hopefully next week we'll see chapter 3. And that's going to be the marriage ceremony. That's when the dowry takes place. It's official. It was official before that one. That's just when we get sick. I hope the Lord's with us till then. Let's pray together.